The one thing that our church is known by many pastors is I have a lot of young people. We have a lot of young people in our church, very active, and doing well, serving the Lord. And the reason for that is I got saved when I was 16 years old, as a young person, like 10 years ago. I'm not good at math. Anyway, I got saved when I was 16, and ever since I got saved, I got involved in church, and I love the young people. I know what's going on with young people. I know how hard it is to minister to young people. I know how hard it is to also be a young people in the church, where the pastor would teach about discipline and all those things like that. But one thing I'm thankful to God for is, the training I got as a young person. I have a big heart for young people. And so when I started to pastor our church, I said, I'm going to have a strong, solid young people who will become the future of the church. Amen. And God has answered my prayer. I have an army of young people. If I call them to battle, they'll be there. Yes, Pastor, reporting for duty. Amen. If it's the work, they are excited. I'm telling you, our young people are excited. They're excited about church. They're excited about the activities of the church. We equip them. We empower them. And I allow them to make mistakes. They're young people. Like I said, young people are sometimes stupid, right? But we allow them to make a mistake because that's where they learn. You know the saying that goes, we learn by a mistake, right? And, that saying is true. Because I'm a genius right now. Did you get that? Because of all the mistakes I've made in my life, I've learned a lot of things. So I want to talk about the young people too. Because I do believe a healthy church, one mark of a healthy church is there's a lot of young people there. I've been to some churches. What they have in the church are old people and small kids. There's a missing gap in between. There are no young people. They're out there in the world, enjoying the world, being used by the devil, destroying their lives, making a mess of their lives. And that ought not to be so, because the church is a place where young people will learn and they will grow. Like I told you, it's hard to be a young person. It's hard to minister to young people. But I would like us this afternoon to understand what it is to be a church that desires young people. So, if you have your Bibles, let's open to 1 Timothy chapter 4. You don't have to stand up. Just open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And this is a familiar verse. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 to 16. So I'm just going to read this to you. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, giving thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, may you bless this lesson, Lord. May you bless our fellowship together, Lord, dear God, in your word. Thank you, O God, for the opportunity and the privilege you've given to us, dear God. And may we learn, dear God, through the knowledge from the Holy Spirit, dear God. Pray, dear God, that even at this time, Lord, we could honor you and glorify you in our midst as we look upon your holy word. We praise you, O God, and we thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the youth. Most of the time we deal with winning the lost, but we neglect to win the believers. There is such a thing as winning the believers. Because sometimes believers can be lost too, right? They already found the truth, they are in the truth, but sometimes they lose their way and forget about what's important in a Christian's life. You know, you lose your focus sometimes, Christians, and you stray away from the will of God. So we need to win not only the lost, we also need to win, you know, the believers, the Christians. So many Christians today live in constant defeat and spiritual weakness. Before we can rescue them, they have already fallen by the wayside and are reaping so many regrets in life. I always say this to our young people: you are at the prime of your life. You have your full life ahead of you, right? My suggestion to you is this. My advice to you is this. If you're going to listen to any advice that I'm telling you, this is the advice that you should listen to. Okay? In your Christian life, just like what Solomon said, you enjoy your youth. Okay? But serve the Lord. Live your life in the will of God. Don't make regrets. Make memories. You have all the opportunity to make memories, good memories in your life. Don't heap up regrets. You don't want to go through life with a lot of excess baggage. You know, when I travel light. My wife is the opposite. Okay? She would bring everything, right? Me, I would just, okay, I'll wear this. I'll wear that again. And I'll wear this. Yeah, so 3 pieces, she would pack 30 pieces, right? And ladies, you always carry your bag with you. And I said, what is it with ladies and bags? Right? Do you always use what's in your bag? I'm not arguing with that, okay. But we men, as much as we can, we don't want anything, even not even a piece of item in our hands, right? What I'm saying is this: you don't want to go through life with a lot of baggage. You want to go through life with good memories. I want someday when I talk to my grandchildren, they're going to ask me, Granddad, how was your life when you were young? And I'll be happy to tell them. Instead of telling, let's change topic. Let's not talk about that. I would someday when they ask me, I can tell them. Amen? And you have all the chance and the opportunity, young people, to be able to do that. One big area of concern for me is young people. I love the young people. I got saved when I was a young person. And I do believe, just like what our national hero said, the youth is the hope of the future. Right? But I would like to add to that, the Christian youth is the hope of the future. And so I tell the young people, listen, you have all the potential to be used of God mightily. I challenge them that not only to be blessed. You come to church to be blessed. Yes, good. I like that. But listen, there's more to being blessed. What is that? Being a blessing. Don't stop there. I want to be blessed. Yes, that's fine. That's good. Don't stop there. There's a higher plane that you want to reach in your life. And that is to be a blessing. And so I tell our young people, be a blessing. You know, help others. Just like Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, be an example. Live a life that would be an example to lead other young people to serve the Lord. Young people, this is the age group where the battle between the Lord and the world is at its fiercest. Okay? You lose the young people, you're going to lose them forever. You lose them to the world, you're going to lose them forever. Until God does something really terrible to bring them back. But you can just keep them in the church. You know, let them be in church. Encourage them. Empower them. Give them something that they will make their lives worthwhile. You know, young people, they're very idealistic too. They want to know that they have a purpose, right? Amen?
You know, we have a crisis here in Canada, and some of you don't know that. We have a crisis of young people that has no hope in life, and so they commit suicide. What is that? They don't have a purpose in life. Life to them is meaningless. But if you tell young people, listen, God has a purpose for you, and you should live for that purpose, I tell you, they'll wake up in the morning, you know, alert and ready to serve the Lord. That's young people. They have full of energy. We want to win the young people to the Lord to become winners for the Lord. So, if you want titles for messages, some pastors don't entitle their message, right? So, they prepare all the message, they forget the title. And the members are, what is the pastor preaching about? So, titles are good for people to know what they're talking about. So, let me talk to you about winning the youth to be winners for God. Winning the youth to be winners for God. We're all winners. God has given us the victory. Do you believe that? Every Christian is a winner. You and I have won. Our sins have been forgiven. We're no longer going to hell. We're going to heaven. We're heaven bound. We're winners. Amen? It's more than those things that you hear on telephone. Hey, you've won a travel to Florida. Give us your Visa card number and we'll get you on your way to Florida. Listen, that is better than that. We're on our way to heaven. Amen? Paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're winners. We're not losers. So, hold your head up high because you are a child of God. Amen? That's where I learned to be, you know, to be happy about my faith, because this book right here, this is a book of positives. This is not a negative book. This is a book of positives. And I always approach my ministry with a positive heart. Why? Because we're all winners for Jesus Christ. I'm talking to victors here. You're all victors. Amen? And I always tell this to our young people, my blood type is O positive. Even my blood type is positive. And you know what O positive can donate to? I can donate to A, B, C, or D. Where man D? I can donate to all types of blood as long as they're positive too. How many are nurses here? Yeah, being an O positive, I can give blood to A positive, but not A negative. You're too negative for me. B, I can give to B positive, not to B negative. Okay? I can give to O positive too. As long as you're positive, we're good. Amen? So, I believe in a positive message because we are all winners for the Lord. But it's hard to win the young people. So let me talk about the young people this afternoon. Okay, first of all, this is young people, right? Amen? And those of you who have been young ones. Young ones. O-N-C-E. Alright? You know what I'm talking about. And if you are a young person today, I want you to listen. Let's talk about the young people. First of all, the perception of the youth. Let's talk about the perception of the youth. Number one, teens are lazy. I don't hear an amen on that. No, Pastor, I'm not lazy. But generally, they are perceived. I'm talking about perception. Now, if you're not lazy, then, you know, it's just a perception. Prove me wrong. Alright? Prove me wrong. Don't get mad at me. Prove me wrong. Okay, so perception is the teens are lazy. And I would tell you, having three kids, that I can say that this is true. Unless we teach them, you know, to not be lazy. Unless we teach them the value of work. Unless we teach them that without work, there will be no accomplishments in life. You know, that sitting down on the couch and playing your computer will not amount to anything to you as far as career and improvement of your life is concerned. Right? You play those computer games, you reach certain levels, for what? Nothing. I play computers too, don't get me wrong. But there's a time in my life that I said, this is enough. I don't need this in my life. Amen? So, they're lazy. Teens are unreliable. This is perception, again. And I keep repeating that because when I say these things, young people will look at me. I go to my next point. So this is perception. This is how we perceive young people. This is how we were before. They're unreliable. We have young people say, hey, Pastor, we're going to be there. We're going to be there. Yes, 10 o'clock. Filipino time. 12 noon. And worse, they won't come. Right? They'll be there for a moment. Yeah, excited. Ooh, they can even reach the roof. But you won't see them again after a few weeks. Unreliable, right? What good is a thing if it's unreliable? What good is having a cell phone with all the features, but after a week it won't work anymore? Amen? So the perception is the young people are unreliable. And secondly, thirdly, teens are irresponsible. Mm-hmm. There's a, I have a Filipino joke, right? Sometimes when kids are asked to do something, they become bats. Now, this is a Filipino joke. Why do they become bats? Tell them to ask dishes, they'll say, bat ako? Bat ako? Inisin mo yan, bat ako? Nagiging bat sila. So in English, you know, bat ako means, why me? But bat is a bat, right? So they become bats. So, beware of bats. Teens are disrespectful. Okay, that's a perception with the teens. A group of young people comes in, here comes the adult, and they would say, oh, no, this is going to be trouble. Right? You tell them something, they would answer back. And that is the perception of the youth, generally. That's why, you know, when sometimes we would go out on some events, and we'll have our young people with me, you know, I'm not bragging, but I get this not once, but many times. They would come to me, are you the pastor of these young people? In my mind, I said, oh no. What have they done? But you know what I heard many times from them? You have a good bunch of young people. I've never seen young people as respectful as your young people. You know, my second son, he would talk over the phone, he would use the word po, P-O, po. That's a word of respect. And he would feel his tensions with po. And one time, he was talking to somebody on the phone, and after he talked, I talked to the guy, he said, is that your son? Yeah. Your son is very respectful. You know, and I would like to jump for joy for that. You know how we did that? As young as they are, we would talk to them. We would say po ourselves. We would po. As we speak to our children, we would say those respect words so that they get accustomed to it. In our church, we call fellow members, if you're a lady, we call you tita, meaning aunt. The men, we call them tito. I would call them, tita, come here. Tito, come here. So when the children see us address them as tito, they would also address them as tito and tita as a sign of respect. We do that because we want to train them. Okay? We don't want them to be disrespectful. And then, you know, the last perception of the teens can never be useful. Okay? That's one perception. Oh, you cannot use them. Now, these are the perceptions of the youth. Why did I start with the perceptions of the youth? Because I want you young people to challenge yourself. Hey, Pastor, that's just perception. And I'm going to keep that as perception as far as my life is concerned. You can perceive me all you want, but I'm not that. Amen? So instead of being angry, because here's a general perception of the youth, tell yourself, That's going to be your perception, Pastor, because I'm not going to be one of them. The perception of the youth. Secondly, the potential of the youth. Potential of the youth. You know, the youth are full of energy and strength. Right? I have never seen a young person that would just cower down in the corner and say, no, they're full of energy. Now, here's one thing. Whether you like it or not, they are going to use that energy for something. They're going to channel that for something, whether you like it or not. So I would rather the young people channel their energy to something that would please the Lord. That's why in our church, we have a lot of activities for the young people. You know, I make sure they're busy. I make sure we have activities every week. And we have leaders. I assign leaders. You know, they want to do something new. I said, you know, just be careful. Don't do anything stupid. As long as it will help the young people, go ahead. You can do that. Okay? As long as they're not doing something unbiblical, I let them do it. That's the way we empower them. Because I do believe that young people have a great potential. Let's not waste their potential, folks. All you need to do is a little bit of encouragement. I want some orchestra here. Anybody wants to play the instrument? That's just what I said. And now on that side of our church are musicians. You know, and they're good at what they're doing. One time I went to Value Village. I go to Value Village too. Okay? And I saw a flute. Good working condition. Nobody plays flute in our church. I asked how much it is. It said $50. And it's a good brand. I know the brand of a good flute. So it's a good brand. I bought it. You know why? That flute will be used by one of our young people someday. Because I believe in the potential of the youth. So I bought it, and I encouraged one of the fathers, you know, give it to him. I know he'll play good. It turned out that man has a gift with music. And boy, now he plays the flute so well. Every time he plays, I'm just so blessed. And he trained himself. He would just watch YouTube and he trained himself. Boy, that went really well. He's now in Faithway as a Bible student. But he's good in music. I bought that flute. You know why? I believe in the potential of the youth. So, the youth are full of energy and strength. They need to be channeled right. Okay? The youth are full of ideas and imagination. They need to be tapped and harnessed. The one thing I'm just discovering now, I'm just discovering this very recently. We have some members, young people, that are composing songs. So we had programs, they would sing programs. In fact, they composed a song during the Pastor Appreciation Sunday. And they sang a song, that's good. And they told me it was their original composition. They are composing songs. So what do? You tell them, stop it. That's not your means. No. I tell them, go ahead and create some more songs. Compose as many songs as you can. We're going to cut them into a CD. We're going to sell them to other churches. All for the glory of God. Amen. They have potential. We need to tap that potential. What else? Youth are teachable and open-minded. Okay? I have some youth that are really willing to listen. And I do believe this with all my heart. Young people who love the Lord would love to listen. And they will listen. I have young people in our church that really listen to their pastor, and their parents are very thankful that these young people listen. And they are very faithful in church right now. You know, the parents are happy because they know that
You know, they're spending their time on things that are pleasing to God. They're not wasting their time. You know, I'm not saying they're perfect. I still am vigilant as a pastor because they're still bound to make mistakes. And I tell you, this is really true. No matter how hard you preach, there will still be young people who will not listen. Who will still follow their own way. So, ministering to young people is a ministry in itself that a pastor should focus. But, you know, the positive side of this is young people have great potentials. They are teachable, they're open-minded, they're willing to listen if you will just take time to teach them. The youth are willing and daring. Huh? They are willing and daring. That's why when they are with themselves, they would dare themselves. Sometimes, unfortunately, they dare themselves to do stupid things. When they're together, I tell you, they transform. Right? From a mild-mannered, soft-spoken young person, when they are with their group, they transform to someone who is willing, ready, and able to commit stupid things. Why? Because they're together. And so we should, instead of allowing them to do that, they need to be guided and molded. They need to be motivated. What else? The potential. What is another potential of the youth? The youth are passionate and emotional. And for that, they need to be tamed too. I tell our young people, you are at the stage of your life where you are so much emotional, ladies. Yes? And the men, you know, you're so... you know, your hormones are beginning to, you know, transform you. And whereas before, you don't notice a lady, now you're beginning to notice. Why? Because something changed. Not just your eyes. Something in you is changing. Amen. That's why Apostle Paul told Timothy, flee youthful lust. Flee youthful lust. Because you are at the point in your life where you have plenty of that. You need to tame that. Amen. And realize the dangers of uncontrolled emotion or passion. You have to have your own rules on how you are going to govern yourself. And that needs to be taught in churches. You know, I tell that to young people. Because that's what they need. That's not what they want to hear, but that's what they need to hear. You are at the point in your life that you have the greater chance to make stupid mistake in your life that you will regret for the rest of your life. So watch out for that. The potential of the youth. They are passionate, emotional. These are all the potentials that it will do us good if we put them in the right place. Amen? Put them in the right place. And use it for something positive that will help the church. We have a different young people have different kinds of character, personality. And I try to top them according to their personality and their character. We have a young person that's jolly, you know. So he's good at making skits. So I let him make skits. Because it's for the good of everybody. Everybody loves, right? Because he's good at that. There are some people who, you know, sings well, right? And their voice are soothing. Let them sing, you know. If your voice is, you know, not that good, just sing in the shower, right? We want to put your potential to where it can be best used. And I do believe that every young person here has a talent or a skill. It's just waiting to be discovered. And it's waiting to be developed and harnessed. The church is the right place for those skills and talents to be harnessed and developed.
And you're going to have a lot of young people that's full of talents and skills. And I'm happy to see Brother Johnson's daughter playing the piano and his son playing the... What's that? What are you playing? What's that? Huh? Clarinet. Yeah. You know, it's always a joy for me to see young people that has talents. Something that will be useful. You know, play games, that's not a talent. I don't see that as a talent. You're just quick with your fingers, that's it. Right? I love young people who are good at math. Amen. I love young people who knows a lot of general knowledge. They're useful. Amen. Sometimes I would preach, I would forget the term. Did somebody would stand up?
Pastor, sir.
It's this term. Thank you. Young people, you have a lot of potential, and that ought to be used for the glory of God. And the third thing is the preparations for the youth. The preparations for the youth. First of all, the youth needs to be understood. And we have, you know, I do believe pastors are given God certain type of ability to understand. You know, if we are to minister to people, God would have to give us the grace. You know, and a little bit of wisdom to understand people. I'm not a psychologist, right? We don't have psychology in our curriculum as being pastors. But I find that if you are going to be a good pastor, that you have to learn a little bit about psychology and understand people's behavior. And to love them, you know, the way we should love people. I always tell this to our church, you know, when you see somebody that's acting weird, right? I tell this. Don't you think that person is weird? Don't you ever think about that? Because it might be you who is weird. Right? Amen? They just do things different than you do. And some people, we don't want to have anything to do with somebody who is weird. We don't want to have something to do with somebody who is not the same as us. Listen, that's not the way we treat people. Amen? We love people the way they are. Because that's the way they are. If people don't usually smile at you, maybe they have stiff muscles in their face. I don't know. I don't put them down, right? Or maybe there's some things they're going through in their life. And we just need to understand. Amen? We ought to be understanding of people. So in our church, we have people who feel so welcome. Sometimes... it's just some members, they don't know how to treat other people. So we need to teach our members to understand people. We all should understand each other. Amen? We come from different backgrounds. And I admire this church. You're diverse here. You have different kinds of culture. I only have to deal with one kind of culture. The Filipino culture. Pastor Johnson has to deal with different kinds of culture in this church. I only have to deal with one. Amen? Mm-hmm. So you should appreciate him. You know, he has to work more time in that area than me. He has to understand culture and love you for the way you are. Amen? So understanding, we should understand the young people. The same thing with young people, they need to be understood. And let me tell you this. You might hear hard words from pastors. You might hear harsh words or things that you don't want to hear. But let me tell you this. They understand you. Pastors understand you. They understand what you're going through. Because we've been there. We've done that. Right? We have a saying in Tagalog, you're still coming We're already going back. Right? So, what you're going through right now, we went through that. And I'm using my ministry in preaching, I use my experience because that's what it's all about. You preach something that's hypothetical, you preach something that cannot be applied in life, that's not effective. Most of the preachings of pastors are based on life, real experiences. And what I'm telling you about God is something that I've experienced in my life. When I'm talking about true riches, I have experienced that in my life personally. You see? So we need to understand the young people. Secondly, we need to, as preparations, you know, and by the way, they need to be understood because they're going through some awkward stages in their life. You know, when it's their favor, they will say, I'm just a kid. And then when it's in their favor and another situation, they say, you're treating me like a kid. So make up your mind. Okay? They can use that in their favor. They would say, I'm just a kid. Why are you letting me do this? I'm just a kid. But when it comes to other things, they would say, you're treating me like a kid. I'm grown up now. I can do that. So awkward. It's very awkward. You don't know what you are. So we need to understand. And sometimes it can be very confusing. And so they need to be understood. They need to be challenged. So as they transition from being a child to becoming an adult, they need to prepare for what's ahead instead of looking back to where they came. Okay? As preparation for the young people, we look forward for what they can be in the Lord. When I look at young people, I look at them as potentials. I don't look at them as, on the basis of their past. And I believe everybody should do that. I look at young people on the basis of what God will be able to do in that person's life and what he can do for the Lord. I always look forward. When I look at a young person, I would imagine what he could be doing for the Lord. You know? So we need to challenge the young people. They need to know the hard truths about life too. Sometimes we need to tell them the hard truths of life. We need to talk to them about hard things too. And I know we don't want to think about those things because it's kind of uncomfortable to talk about, you know, the realities or the hard things, but we need to. We need to tell the young people the dangers just lurking around them. The dangers of pornography. Young people. You know, I tell our members, I don't care if you're faithful. I don't care if you're singing in the choir. There's always that danger of pornography in your computer. Don't tell me I don't know that because I know some people are good at hiding. Then I go look at some application. How did he know? How did he know? That's the way it is. I just know. And by the way, I'm not just talking to young people. I'm not just also talking to men. You know? We still have our flesh. And if we're not careful, we can fall into that sin. And I tell you, parents, we have a very, very grave responsibility when it comes to teaching our children because whether you like it or not, they will look at you. Whatever you do, they will remember that. If you rebel against authority or your pastor, your children will notice that. And don't be surprised, someday they'll rebel at you. Why? Because you taught them. If you don't make church important, do you expect your children to make church important? Now, they have a way of exaggerating things. So, you know what I do? You want to exaggerate on the positive things. You want to teach your children modesty, then be modest yourself. Amen? You want to teach your children to do the right things, to read the right things, then read the right things. You want your children to listen to the right music, then listen to the right music yourself. You cannot tell your children, just say what I tell you, don't do what I do. That's a wrong principle of teaching. You have to be an example. We need to prepare the young people. They need to be challenged. And then, in preparation for the youth, they need to learn to obey authority in their lives. Learn authority. Look at our verse. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let's go back there. Verse 12, what does it say right there? Verse 12 to 14. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attendance to reading. Reading what? The word of God. Okay? Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Learn to obey authority. And that is the Bible. You know the authority of the young people? The Bible. You have your parents. If you have a Sunday school teacher, your teacher, and your pastor. They are the authority in your life. They are there for you, to help you. And the last thing we're going to talk about, the young people, I'm going to close, is the power of the youth. The power of the youth. Isn't it? Pastor, do you really believe that? Yes, I do. I believe in the power of the youth. I believe in what the youth can do. Remember, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and Daniel, they were youth, and they were used by God. Mightily. David was a youth when he defeated Goliath. Solomon was a youth when God granted him to be the wisest king. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were just children when they stood before kings. So many more young people in the Bible that God used mightily. So I believe in the power of the youth. The young people, I hope that you will take this to heart. I'm going to close with this in Psalm 127. Psalm 127. In our church, we call our young people the arrows. Our young people's group is called the arrows. Based on this, Psalm 174. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. One goal you can have in this church is to have a lot of young people. And you're going to make somebody very happy. That's right. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. You know why? Because there's power with the youth. They are a great asset in the church. And when you have young people that are active, you know that your church will continue on. So how about it, young people? Amen? I started with perception. I ended up with power. I would like to believe the latter than the former. Amen? You have a great potential. Use it for the glory of God. Someday, you're going to have children of your own. You're going to look back and thank the Lord that you allowed yourself to be a young person for Jesus Christ. Be a young person for Jesus Christ. Use your youth for the glory of God.
Wanted Pastor Romano to speak on that topic. I heard him give a little lesson about that one time, and And I wanted to hear it again. I wanted it to be shared with you because, I do believe. I do believe in the potential of our youth. What he started with is, yes, sometimes we could try to look at youth in general and maybe get discouraged, but I don't think it has to be that way. There's great potential. There's great potential in the youth. And I want to encourage, you know, you as a parent or you who are adults to believe in the youth. Set a godly example for the youth. Don't just run around criticizing them, but believe in them and help them. Challenge them. I think we can have young people grow up and do great things and accomplish great things and live to the glory of God. They don't have to waste their life. I said something, I think it was last Sunday or somehow, or where, I don't remember where we were, but we got into this discussion of wanting to take our children to bring them to a place of maturity, right? They don't have to just become teenagers who waste their life and live for self. No, we want to bring our children up to places of maturity and empower them to serve Christ and serve God. One of the little boys in our church last Sunday after our ministry involvement, he came back here and the pulpit had been down there, remember? And he got a chair up behind it, I think, and he was up there and started doing things. He maybe saw it crazy and he said, I'm the pastor, I'm the pastor. You know what? And back over there where I was standing, I said, nothing would please me more. And as wild as that little boy might have been when we first met him, you know what? God's been changing him. Little by little. And I believe. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a rascal right now or you're... I believe there's great potential in these children or these teenagers. You don't have to waste your life. Tony and Paul and Colin and Caleb and Chloe. Yeah, even you, Chloe. I believe in you. We love you. We care about you. I've seen you grow up a lot of years. I want you to go a good direction in your life. I want you to live for the Lord. I believe in my children. I believe in what God can do in their life. And let's believe in them. Let's not be negative. Let's encourage them and help them to serve the Lord. Like you said, wouldn't it be great to just, you know, fill up a whole section of orchestra on both sides? Wouldn't that be great? It's going to start somewhere. It's going to have to start with the big people. The big people live for God, be faithful, set a good example, invest in your children, bring them to church, bring them to Sunday school, go to the thrift stores, get on Kijiji. I've bought a bunch of instruments on Kijiji before. With a plan, with a vision for them to be used by young people. Let's believe in them. Let's help them to live for the Lord. They can. You know what? Oftentimes young people will do whatever we expect of them. So if we expect them to be fail or expect them to be punks or expect them to... Well, that's what they do. If we expect foolishness, well, let's expect better things. Let's expect greater things. God has something better for you. We want you to live for God's glory. We believe in what you can do. And let's pray for our young people. Let's believe and let's lead them in the right way. Please, would you do that? Amen.